Revelation chapter 19, we're going to begin reading with the 19th verse, and then we'll read down through the third verse of chapter 20 today. Revelation chapter 19, as we continue to study this precious book, something that's coming in the future. Revelation 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse against and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we have your precious word. I thank you for all the folks that have come today. And I know we had a wonderful time during the Sunday school hour, and it just prepared our hearts for the worship time. Now we've come together, and we're singing the beautiful hymns. And please, now that you would just guide and lead us through this scripture text that we have read today, and begin now in Revelation 19:19. Just guide and lead us through it. Give us your wisdom, give us your strength, and send the faith to us to believe and know what's going to happen, because it should stir the hearts of believers that we would go out and witness and tell people about the Lord Jesus, that they would not have to face this time. Now please guide and lead us now, and just speak to all of our hearts, those that do not know you as their Savior, that they would trust in you today. Come to the cross of Calvary where you died to take their sins away and to set them free. Please, dear Lord, guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We look at this area of Scripture for the last weeks and months now. We have studied through this book of Revelation. And as it makes its progression to the end, we need to see and understand that to know these things, to learn these things, to see what is about to happen. And we've got some statements, the lake of fire burning with brimstone, taking Satan down and binding him in the bottomless pit, then loosing him 1,000 years later. Could these things be true? Is Satan real? Do we need a Savior? Is this life the only life there is, or is there life after death? This Bible, this precious book that we have before us, has so much to tell us, and so many things that have been documented by man, by history, to prove it's true. We talked about that a little bit in the Sunday school class this morning. We can go back to Daniel and the image that the king had seen. And Daniel prophesied the king's own destruction, King Nebuchadnezzar, the destruction of Babylon, then on to the Medes and Persians and the Greeks, and then on to Rome. All that's history. All that's history that's documented. And you know what? It happened exactly the way the Word of God tells us, even though it was said many years before it took place. Another promise that was given, and that is to the nation of Israel. And if you question whether this book is true or right, I ask you that you go and you look at that little nation of Israel. Thought it was totally done away with, annihilated, in 70 AD. History tells us the temple was completely destroyed and Israel was dispersed, no longer to be a nation. In the year 1948, miraculously, it was given back its land and they started to move back to Israel. Nations, Palestine, the enemies on every side try to destroy this little nation, this little tiny, tiny country. And as I have described it to you before, it is equal in size on the globe that we have downstairs. And the globe's about this big. It's not a monstrous globe. It's about this big. And it compares to the end of a lead pencil. That's how big the nation of Israel is. And yet no one can destroy it. And if you want to watch, you just continue as enemies from every side. Some are gaining nuclear power. That's going to be the size. Israel's gone, the world says. But you watch for me and you testify Israel's going nowhere because God's going to protect them. Now you watch that. You watch that. I want you to be saved. I want you to trust in Jesus Christ. And so knowing all these things in history have taken place, and now that tiny little nation of Israel back in 1948 was given birth once again, as God promised, exactly the way God said it happened. Why shouldn't we believe this? Why shouldn't we believe this? The 19th verse of the 19th chapter, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." Little review. God has gathered up all the fowls of the air, all the buzzards and the eagles and everybody to come to this one region of the world because there's going to be a bloodbath of the enemy. And God's calling all the birds, and he tells us who these vultures and these buzzards are going to eat: the flesh of kings, captains, mighty men, horses, and all those, bond or free, small or great, rich or poor, all that do not trust in Jesus, that go into this time period, the tribulation period, will face this awful slaughter, and then you won't have, as kings have, a wonderful burial and ceremony and put into a tomb or a mausoleum. You won't be any of that. That body's going to lay on the ground, and the vultures are going to come and clean it up. They're going to have a fine meal that day, a fine meal. That's taking place. As this all comes together now, we see that I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, all that went with him, gathered together to destroy Jehovah, to destroy God. They're so arrogant, they think they can do that. The very one that has created the world, that has spoken into existence all that we know, they think they can destroy him. They're after his people, all born-again believers. They hate, despise the nation of Israel, and you see that today. More and more an anger and a vengeance against this little nation of Israel. How can one tiny little nation, being so small, get in the news on a daily basis? Why? There's countries that are 10 times that size that you hear nothing about. Why? Because the world hates Israel and the God of Israel. And so the world continues to pronounce judgment upon them, and in hoping that one day on the news can be said that the nation of Israel once again has been eliminated. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. During this time period, the very last of the 7 years, we're in church age right now, the church is raptured, goes back with the Lord, and then we come back with the Lord, and that's where we're at right here, and the destruction of the evil is coming. We looked very quickly last time we were together last week And we looked at the return of the Lord, which is in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30. Then we have the beast and all of the followers to be destroyed. We find that here in Revelation 19, 11 through 21. And then the judgment upon the nations. And we read Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 9 last week. I wanted you to go, and I hope you did, go back to Matthew 25 and read verse 31 through 46. Then next to come in this sequence is 1,000 years of peace. And we call it the millennial reign of Christ, the kingdom age. But it's 1,000 years. And we're going to read about that in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. We have then a revolt, and because we read in the third verse of chapter 20 that Satan's going to be loosed for a little season, and so we see the results of that in Revelation 20, verse 7 through 10. And then we have the second resurrection, the resurrection of the wicked, the dead, and the final judgment, and we're going to read about that in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. The day of God, the earth is purged with fire. And so we find that the final, when all evil is destroyed, now we're going to go, and that's where we're going to begin today, in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. And so if you would please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 10, and we're going to read down through the 13th verse today. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have hope. If you don't know Jesus, you have no hope of tomorrow. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and to this day, the lie is told that the disciples stole the body away, and yet he was seen by hundreds after the resurrection. Jesus is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father right now. God has taken his word and allowed history to confirm any time that scientists prove a fact, and it's true. They have a lot of false things that they have come up with, but when it's true, something that is truthful, it is never contrary to the Word of God. And this earth, this world, this universe as we know it, is about 6,000 years old. Now, you're taught in school that it's millions and billions of years old. It's 6,000 years old. 4,000 years before the birth of Christ, God created it all. Created it all. The scientists' determination to prove there is no God continue to produce lies of one sort or another. Evolution is one of those lies. Evolution is a theory. That's all it is. It's somebody's theory. But it's kind of like a lie. If you tell a lie enough times, it becomes a truth. Most people accept it today. It is taught as truth, not as a theory. We look to the Word of God. We have come to the end of the time here. And it's important that we understand that Jesus died to save the world, to save every person. And if you choose not to come by faith to Jesus, God is not the one that's responsible for that, because he has allowed you free gift just to hand it whosoever will. It's that simple. For 6,000 years now, this earth and the world, God has cleansed it once with water through Noah. He has done some localized cleaning with Lot when there was with Sodom and Gomorrah. History acknowledges Sodom and Gomorrah in the cities of the valley, but they can't find them. You see, fire and brimstone came from heaven and destroyed them. All these things we know by history, but we know the word of God is true and is right. So the beast was taken, with him the false prophets. This destruction, it was the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. As this great battle takes place, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. This gathering of together here, this confederation of kings and peoples and multitudes, millions and millions of people gathered together to destroy that little nation of Israel, to come and to take away the position of God, to say that he is not God. We are God. Here in this 19th verse, the beast is named first. He's the ringleader. He's the center of this movement that's against the Lamb of God and his people. Every resource at this time, everyone, every dollar, every breath, every strength of man will come together and be against the nation of Israel and against God. They are coming to destroy God. The second thing that's listed in this verse of Scripture, the 19th verse, the first is beast, the second is kings. Remember who moaned and groaned and mourned over the destruction of Babylon. Remember that? All the society, and sad to say that this is the church of today. The church today is a political social machine. I call them country clubs. You want people to come to church? Well, you have to make them comfortable. They come to church. You have to serve them McDonald's. You have to, you know, so many mega churches today are in a mall scene, to where you come and sit at a table and you can eat and watch it on a screen, or you can go into the church proper and be in there. Most churches have two services. They have the service that's traditional, and you sing the older hymns, and then you have the new that is the pop music and the drums and the band and all those things. And so we need to fit it so the people will come. The Word of God needs to be proclaimed, and if the Word of God is proclaimed, the Spirit of God will draw the people and salvation will come. We don't need some gimmick. Amen. And so the society of today and the church that these kings bow down to, this social machine, is all united with the beast for this last effort to attempt to overthrow God. The third you find there is the armies. And the armies are a combined of the beast and the kings. And if we go back to Revelation chapter 16, turn back there with me quickly. Revelation 16, the 13th verse. Revelation 16, 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of the devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day, that great day of God Almighty. as we continue to read, "Behold, I come as a thief," verse 15, "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth the garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. He gather them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Golgotha, Armageddon." And so as we come together here, we see that not only the beast is named first, the kings next, his armies, all those that are followers of him, and now also we have stated the place, Armageddon, where it's going to be held. Armageddon is the Valley of Megiddo, is called an ancient hill, the Valley of Megiddo, west of the Jordan in the plain of Jezreel. Once again, God created this world. God is going to allow all mankind to kind of have his will. The devil's the god of this world right now. There's a time it's going to come to an end, and that's where we're at, right here. We're here. This battle that's going to take place, we're not told much in chapter 19, but let's go back to chapter 14, because when we studied that, we saw some of that. Revelation 14, verse 18 and 20. Another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine in the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of that winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs, somewhere between 175 and 200 miles long, bridle deep, will be the blood when God comes down and brings judgment upon this world. So you see, I hope you can see this. All the nations are going to gather into this one valley. They're going to come down from the north, and all of them are going to gather in this one valley because they are bound and determined to destroy Israel. Bound and determined, but they're going to fail. The chief of these, again, is the beast as he leads this group. The beast was taken and the false prophets. So when destruction came, when God brought judgment, and again, we have watched, we have testified that when Jesus was taken before he was crucified, they met in the garden, brought armies to take him in. And he says, "Why did you bring so many armies? You know, you've seen me in the temple, you've talked to me. Why did you have to bring so many?" But when he spoke, everyone there was laid back on their backs. That's the power of God. You see, God just speaks. He can do anything. God's word, and it tells us he comes with a sharp two-edged sword. And when he comes and he speaks with that sword, it's going to destroy all of evil. There's going to be a time that's going to come to pass. Now, from today, we know it's 7 years away because we're still here. The church is still here. And so when the church leaves and this tribulation time comes, and the end of this tribulation time is right here and right now. This beast, the chief, the main person listed here in verse 20, was taken, the scripture says. Also the false prophet, being the Antichrist, the head of all religious apostasy, he too was taken. You see, the multitudes are slain. Blood's bridle deep on the horse. Bridle deep on the horse. For 175, 200 miles, the blood's going to be that deep. That's the multitudes that's going to come against the nation of Israel and against God. But the beast and the false prophet, God's got another plan for them. He is taking them alive down into the pit. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophets and that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. During the tribulation period, the only way you're going to be able to eat or buy food or work or function in any way is to get the mark. And haven't we advanced to that today? Today, many people's pets have a little chip in them that allows you to know wherever they can check that chip and know who owns that animal. They can do it to an animal. Don't think they're not going to do it to us. We don't have to worry about it if today, because the church is still here. But when the church is raptured, all believers go up to be with the Lord. That is when this time will enter. And during that 7 years, there's going to be a time that you have to take the mark of the beast if you want to eat. You will be hunted down and slaughtered if you choose not to take the mark of the beast, either in the forehead or on your hand, one or the other. That will give you, that'll tell you, you want to have money in your pocket, you won't have any money in your pocket. Because all you have to do is go to the store and put your hand out, or they can flash it across the forehead, and that'll allow you to buy food. That'll allow you to buy gas. That'll allow you to go to work, to own a home, pay your bills. All your bills, everything will be paid with that. Everything. There'll be no currency. Government will control it all. The beast, the Antichrist. Those two are not killed. Those two set out by the power and the strength of Satan to deceive the world. He does it in many ways. He deceives the world by just changing the word just a little bit. You can be saved through baptism. You can be saved through being a certain member of a church, a given church. All these things, we're told lies. Well, you know, the Word of God tells us to come by faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How simple is that? How simple is that? Do you have to be a member of this church? No. Do you have to be baptized? No. Do you have to bow down and serve Him forever? I hope you do, but you don't have to. Because He saves you and He keeps you. Once you are saved, you'll want to, because your water changes. But until then, when that time comes, when you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, you're sealed. You go home to be with the Lord. These folks here, if they trust in Jesus during that 7 years, will be put to death. Because anybody that trusts in Jesus during that time, the Antichrist and the beast hates, sets out to put them to death. These are not killed. These that are deceived. And today, to come by faith to Jesus is so simple. And yet the world teaches that you can get there by works. The world teaches there is no heaven. The world teaches there is no lake of fire. There's no hell. The world teaches all those things. And the old world, the devil, has gotten right into the churches and has taken these truths away to where many folks, they never hear the gospel. They never hear that Jesus died for them, and all you have to do is come by faith. The Spirit of God will touch your heart and show you that you're lost and then show you the Savior. Psychologists and psychiatrists today can show you all your faults. They can explain that very clearly to you, but they can't do anything about it. They can't do a thing about it, but our God can. Our God can make the difference if you'll come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Deceived, to be led out of the way, to be delusional, to be led from safety, truth, or virtue. The deceiver is an imposter, a misleader, the scripture says. A misleader is what that word means. So if you have not come by faith to Jesus and listened to others that deny this word, then you have been deceived. In the simple words, you've been duped. Because the world tells us we don't need Jesus. The world tells us there is no God. The world tells us there's no heaven, there's no hell. But God tells us otherwise. And we need to listen. This battle that's going on here, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. This lake of fire burning with brimstone, the definition in the Greek of brimstone is flashing sulfur. Lake of fire. Our minds can't imagine that. Going to a place where you're forever dying and never die. We can't imagine that. And yet there is such a place. It was created for the devil and his angels. But for all those that reject Jesus, we'll find that to be home for eternity. Please read chapter 38 and 39 this afternoon, if you would, of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, because clear back in Ezekiel, some 600 years before the birth of Christ, was this same story is told. And it's not changed. The devil continues to destroy God and his people. He fails, but he just keeps trying. And he is never going to stop until he is cast into the lake of fire. His helpers, the beast and the false prophets, are put there right now. They're put there now into this lake of fire. They are the first residents of the lake of fire burning with brimstone. The lost today are in a place of torment, awaiting judgment to go to such a place. But this is the first residents of that place. And they will be forever burning with fire. And yet the scripture says total darkness. It is literal fire. It is a lake of it, the scripture tells us. Not enough words to describe the suffering and the pain that will come with that. And it will go forever. Now, Satan is going to join them, the false prophet and the beast, 1,000 years later. He will join them. When Satan gets there, 1,000 years later, the beast and the false prophet will still be burning. You're burnt yourself. I've had some minor burns on my fingers from the electrical work I do. I'm constantly cutting myself or burning myself or blowing something up. Been doing it for 32 years, but I don't seem like I can improve much. Just once, I took all the skin off of all three fingers. And there was just a little ridge of flesh, burnt flesh here, and there was just meat on all three. And just to go through the therapy of growing that back, taking the old and the fake skin that was on there and tearing it off, there was always a nurse there with the therapist, and the nurse's purpose was to say, okay, Larry's had enough because we're going to lose him. The pain gets so severe that you're just going to pass out. Now, how can that be so small with something so little? Can you imagine? Can you imagine folks that get burned on their whole body? I can't. They say they go out of their mind, and I sure understand why. The pain is so severe. Eternal fire in hell forever. And all you have to do is ask Jesus into your heart to avoid such a place. Fire and brimstone, it tells us of the torment. And we just can't imagine what that's like. No matter what others teach, what others say, it is a literal place. The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The pride of all the people of all the earth, great, small, rich, poor, all the armies of the Antichrist, all were slain, not with bullets, not with an atomic bomb, not with a sword from man, but from the Word of God. God comes, God speaks, and the world dies. He said, what a God. God created this world for his own honor and glory, not for ours. Man has denied giving God any of the praise or credit for it. Man decided to disobey. And when man disobeyed, sin came into the world. Now for 6,000 years, it's been here. 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son. Jesus died on the cross and rose again, took our sins away, and gave us life. And then he says, here. It's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. That's it. You see, the Holy Spirit, we don't do anything. We just take it, because the Holy Spirit shows us who we are and then shows us who we need. And we just trust in Jesus. But the world doesn't want to do that. The world would rather do it their own way and change their way. The world's been trying to do it their way all along, and every one of those have ended up in the place of torment, awaiting the lake of fire and brimstone. Everyone. So here comes the vultures of the world, the eagles and the buzzards, and all will come, and they will dine on kings and princes and rich men, billionaires. All are deceived. All are duped by the God of this world. It says the buzzards will be full, be filled. The home of those that take the mark of the beast, worship him and join him, is clear. The lake of fire. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 11. Revelation 14. We were just at 14 earlier, the earlier place. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. You know, you want to dilute something, make something less powerful, you dilute it. It says, poured without mixture unto the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and with brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image. Whosoever receiveth the mark of his name will face such a time. No rest day nor night. Continual pain and suffering. Please, again, this afternoon, read. We're going to be there in the very near future, Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, because that speaks of this time. Once again, read Ezekiel chapter 38, chapter 39. Go to Matthew 24, 27, and 28. All those scripture verses confirm what we're talking about. You can believe it. But you don't have to. You see, that's the love of God. He could demand that all of us bow down to him and worship him, but he doesn't. He allows us to come freely. And I hope that you do. I hope that you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. I don't want anybody that I know, my worst enemy, I would not want to face this time. I don't have anyone that I don't want to see saved. But I sure have a lot of folks I know don't want it. Don't want it. You know, it's a sad day to know that my father, even my father, refused the gospel. And when he died 5 years ago, he went into the place of torment. And he'll be there until these days are over, and then 1,000 years with the reign of Christ. And he'll be taken from that place, and he'll stand before the Lord Jesus. And he'll be condemned to this place called the lake of fire, burning with brimstone for eternity. For eternity. See, I can't save my dad. I can't save my children. I can't save anybody. We can tell them. And that's our job. That's our purpose. To tell them. Breaks your heart when somebody that you know and love chose hell over heaven. Chose the devil over Jesus. Good man. Dad's a good man. Took care of his family. Good man. But he didn't know Jesus. That's the difference. Don't miss it. They say it's about 18 inches away from the head to the heart. That's how far most people miss it. You got it figured out. Trust in your heart today, the Lord Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Father, I just ask that you'll take the words that were spoken this morning and make them so clear. It's not my words. It's your word that can convict the heart. It's your word that touches the soul down deep and can expose who we are and what we are. And then wonderfully and with such love and grace show us your Son, the Lord Jesus. You're a God of love. Because you loved us so much that you gave your only Son, your only begotten Son. You have given him to us that we may have life. You allowed him to come down and suffer and die so that we could live. It's your plan. And then you said, whosoever will, because you don't want anybody to serve you and love you and praise you and worship you and honor you by demand, but because we want to. The gift of salvation is the same way. So please, dear Father, today, I ask that you send your sweet Spirit, that he will touch every heart today, that they will come to the Lord Jesus if they don't know you, and if they have come, and they'll serve, and they'll praise, and we'll proclaim that precious word that no one we know, no one that we love will go into such a horrible place for eternity. Just touch our hearts now, dear Lord, as we sing this closing hymn. Now I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.